Once they lost their money, they lost kind of who they were. They let their money define them. And I think that's one part about capitalism. And I'm a capitalist. I'm not going to, you know, fraud to you. But I do think we do make the mistake that money is defining us. It is the most dangerous thing in America, to be quite frankly, is that the money does define us. And when we lose it, you know, some people commit suicide. Some people, they have no idea who they are without their money.
This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. You can find us online at www.njrevolutionradio.com. Follow us on all the social medias and find us wherever you get your podcasts from. Today, I have got someone that I'm interviewing that you are really going to like. I heard this man perform at an event that I was attending, and I was just blown away. He is a very inspiring and moving poet, and I just am so happy to have him here. Welcome to the show, Ambition the Poet.
Hey, 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 how are you?
I am doing well. How about you?
thank you for having me. Thank you for that introduction. I appreciate that. I do. I try to inspire people every time I open my mouth. You know, one thing is when we have someone's attention, we want to captivate it and keep it, but we don't want to waste their time while we have it.
Right. That's a great philosophy. So I kind of like to ask everybody on my show about their origin stories, how they got to where, who they are now. So do you want to give a little bit of backstory of how you became a poet?
Yeah. So, okay. So first, my backstory is that I came from Philly. Okay. So I'm basically from North Philly, or a small part of North Philly called Nicetown. And then I end up being adopted by an amazing lady in South Jersey in Sicklerville. And I ended up growing up there. And at the time I was being bullied and there was a lot of things going on in my life in foster care. So I ended up writing these little stories. The stories were, they weren't the best stories. They were a little angry. Those stories could have got me expelled. Don't tell nobody that. Now, and then those stories turned into little raps. And the raps was telling the stories. And so as I got older, I was rapping. And but I got old and older, and my mom was like, go get a job. And so I started working, and I actually stopped pursuing the art in a way. And it really wasn't until about 3 years ago where I picked up the art of poetry. I wasn't always a poet. I really am a rapper who turned into a poet as I got older. And so my poetry stems from pain, love, laughter, experiences, and me just writing from what I went through and some of the things that I see, and then writing on that. And so I think the poem I performed down at the podcast conference was Be Yourself. And that was a poem of an experience of watching those TV shows as I got older, and then, you know, writing about what I believe that would have meant to me at that time. And so, yeah.
Right. And I say this proudly as a geek myself, but you're also a little bit of a geek growing up. You're kind of into science fiction and, you're a little bit of a geeky kid as well growing up, which is awesome. Yeah, yeah. So, geeks should unite together.
Right, right. So what ended up happening is, as weird as that, I never really was big on telling people that, but I was telling you guys about being that there's a sector of black nerds, people who love anime, people who love science, people who love all these things. And in our community, sometimes it's not the most boastful about, but there is a lot of African-American people and people of color who love these different things, and it's not projected loudly. And so I, coming up with my own clothing line and, telling people that it's okay to, we love anime, we love our different things, and everybody doesn't have to fit anymore in their mold. And the more and more I get to meet people, more and more people I see doing Comic-Con and different things that I really never knew that existed. And I'm just like, wait, people that are adults literally dress up outside of Halloween. Like, I didn't know. And some people are really good at it. And there's a lot of people of color, of African-American, that do it. And I'm like, wait, I don't think a lot of people know this. And so just, you know, giving awareness and, you know, I like it. And, you know, and I don't care. I'm bold with mine, you know, so I'm confident who I am. And, you know, I don't mind telling the people that as well.
Right. It's all about your poem. Like you said, be yourself. Correct. Right. You know, there's nothing to be ashamed of having passion for something. And I think that's something kind of like geeks. It means that you're passionate about something. It may not be the same things everyone else is passionate about, but that passion in itself is beautiful. And that's kind of where that passion is, where all great art comes from, too. It's that really feeling things strongly.
Correct. Correct. And not being afraid of it. See, the thing I think, like we said, our nerdy person or a geek person is more so, it's really not that they're a geek or a nerd, right? It's really that they're a wizard or a doctor without having the paper behind them and something that is important to them. When they get the confidence to boldly tell the world that, then they're no longer, you know, called the geek, right? They're called the scientist or someone who's really into anime or who's really into that, and they throw a whole conference. Now, oh, you're considered the CEO or a business person. No, I'm the same person who love anime and nerdy stuff. I just decided to, you know, build a business off of it, and now it's a big conference, and now you're well-respected. But when you was just in your house playing with, you know, cartoon figures, you were called the nerd or a geek for doing so. And so it's really that confidence piece and the boldness that's missing. And that's okay. You know, being, like you said, being passionate, but being bold about, you know, what you believe in and securing that.
Right. And part of what you try to do is you also want to inspire young people. So you actually have developed a clothing line. Let's talk a little bit more about that clothing line. You had a few pieces with you at the convention, but I thought they were really cute, your little figures that you've created.
Yeah. So what it is that I have a designer who actually is from the Philippines, and she's an amazing lady. And what it is the chibi is anime. And so, like, again, I grew up, you know, I loved anime, and I was telling you guys that I love Sailor Moon, but never wanted to tell anybody in the school that I love Sailor Moon. And that I watched Dragon Ball Z and something called Ronin Warriors, and I always loved, you know, the big eyes and the different things, and so many people I knew also loved it as well. And so the chibi was just a small character that I believe was perfect for a children's clothing line. And for what I wanted to do was just put it in the clothes, the aspect of the clothes, the way their mannerisms, some of their storylines, and of course the color of their skin, which is brown and different shades of brown, because at the time when I went into clothing stores for children, I didn't see it. And so I wanted to really create something that I could bring to the market that was different, but not the same, right? Adding that anime portion that it really catches people off guard, because they really don't see things like that being pushed boldly, right, in that clothing market. And so that's kind of what I wanted to do, and that's what we're going to do going forward. And it's called Ambicito by Harper.
And seeing stuff like that, like anime or superheroes with the same color skin as you, has to really inspire and empower you as a little kid when you're growing up. Because that lack of it definitely screams loudly, like there's just this void of something missing. So you're really filling a niche that needs to be filled.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, like you said, sometimes it's you already connect to the characters anyway. I mean, when you're a young boy, like you said, I mean, I didn't watch Dragon Ball Z and then say, you know, the skin is not brown. You know, I loved it. I just loved it. And I understand as I got older, you know, every now and then it's very important for people to see the reflection of themselves, even if that character, it could just be the character. I love seeing like Boss Baby, and some people do the cool art with Goku, but like in brown skin, you know what I mean? So I don't really care. It's just like, to me, I connect with the character, but I do know that it's important, you know, for youth growing up to see that. Because there's so many heroes in the universe, and some of them don't have the same color skin, even though African-Americans still connect to them, but it's still important for them to see, you know, in that kid mindset to know, oh yeah, this is what I like to, you know, be like, and in their vision to see it, you know, firsthand growing up. And so that's important to me and to a lot of other people as well.
Right. Like, look at how transformative the movie Black Panther was. You know, there had never been anything like that before. And it's impactful.
And people, like, I never knew existed. You know, hey, I'm 34. I Black Panther, I never knew. That just was not ever really told to me. And I was into those comic books to the point where I knew Black Panther. I knew the, you know, the basic X-Men. I knew, you know, a lot of characters, but not Black Panther, not growing up. You know, I just didn't know. It was a little bit before my time. And so to learn about that and so many other people know about it, it would just explode it. You know what I mean? Because they never, like you said, they never knew that it existed. And when they did know this, it was like, oh, wow, this is crazy. Like, and then they went crazy for it, you know? So it's impactful and it's a good thing.
So I want to talk a little bit about your goals of inspiring others. How exactly do you meet those goals, and what kind of future do you see as far as getting that inspiration out? What do you hope to achieve?
I think, when you say what's my goal with inspiring people, it's really just the confidence in oneself. I think sometimes it's lacking in people, of all people, because of whatever they believe in, they don't know how to embrace it with boldness and then tell the world that if you don't like it, that's okay. I don't hate you for it, but this is just what I'm going to do and what I believe, right? And so my thing is just to inspire people to say, you have ambition. That's why I call myself Ambition the Poet. Is the ambition is to, you know, to boldly go after something for yourself. I always say it's we all have this internal flame, and some of us is really low because we're not embracing our gifts. We're not embracing what we believe in and then wrapping ourselves in that belief, regardless of what the world say, and still going forward. So my job is to really, you know, through poetry or through clothing or whatever I do, to make sure that I inspire the person to ignite something that's already inside of them. That we already have. And then it's up to them to choose, to bring that flame bigger, to bring out their gifts more. And so that's really my vision for people in general. For example, for poets, it's the same thing as like when I meet poets and they say they're a poet, or I want to do this poem, but I don't want people to know my business. And I tell them, you know, well, your business is one thing, but your life experience is another, right? So people need to hear what you went through for their help, you know? And if you keep it to yourself, then nobody will know, and nobody will be able to use your experience through you to make themselves better. And no disrespect, I can't talk to who you can talk to on this podcast, right? I may be able to reach my people, but you have your podcast and that can reach that particular group of people. And so if we are quiet individually, then there's people not getting a message. And that's really not good. We all need to speak in some form or fashion to reach our audience, the people that need to hear us before, you know, we leave this earth.
Yeah, and I think that's important. That's something I actually try to focus here too, is sharing your personal stories, even if they are trauma. It just helps another person to know they're not alone.
Correct.
And they get that connection, like, oh, I'm not the only one going through this. I'm not the only one having these feelings. And, you know, there's a lot of us, and there's some strength in numbers there.
It is. And I think that's why I loved about the internet. It was like, find like something that can be like, you know what? We all like this. We all are from this background. We are all from this thing. And then you get around other people that's like you, and you're never by yourself. I believe there's probably nothing that you can say, you know, I bet you there's somebody else, like you said, like somebody who loves to knit, you know what I mean? They just love to knit. And you go to the world, the people are like, who knits or whatever, right? And then you go on the internet and there's probably literally thousands of group of people all around the globe that knit. And it's just like, finally, here's my people, you know? And so that's kind of, you know, one of the things I listen, you're never alone. Even if you feel like it, there's somebody out there like you. And you just got to go find it and speak up. They'll come. Even if at the beginning people will reject it or say that you're weird or whatever. But that's because they're not part of your, you know, your clan or the people that you speak to. That's not your audience. When you speak to your audience and boldly stand with them, and you'll be fine. So.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot about community. You know, like, obviously my listeners know this is an anti-capitalist podcast. And we kind of try to fight against that individuality. That, individual is most important, and there's this complete lack of community. But, you know, community is so important, and looking out for each other and taking care of each other and inspiring each other is so important and so lacking in society today that's why I love what you're doing of trying to do this community building and inspiration with your art.
No, I appreciate that. And I think that's true. I think that I was telling somebody else that you can do a lot by yourself. You are like, people are powerful by themselves. You know what I mean? And I understand why people believe in the individual. But again, you're so right. When it comes to community, but when you're trying to do something massive, like when you're trying to do something on a bigger scale, there's no way you can do it without people. You cannot do anything on a big scale without really the help of people. It's no way. Even if you do a little video and it goes viral, it went viral because thousands of people collectively shared it, liked it, and agreed and said, this is funny or inspiring or attractive to our eye. And so, yeah, you could say that you did it yourself, but it's always a collective force behind something that you need to build something great, you know? And so I definitely understand that. And a lot of people ignore that. And that's why you can tell the person who is stagnant because they don't believe in the help or they turn down the help. And you need the help of the people to get to a certain level in life. Absolutely.
And it just, for your emotional health as well, it just, you know, you can't just take the world on by yourself. You know, sometimes you need comrades to, you know, boost you up and help you out.
Right. That is so true. You need them. You have to. You can't do it. I've been there, done that, tried to do it by myself. And it doesn't get you anywhere fast. Reach out to people. Tell them you need help. Tell them what you're trying to do. You want to build what your mission is. And there's somebody out there that will definitely, you know, help you with this.
And when you're not also doing poetry, you have a book as well that you have published and are selling, right?
Yes. Well, this is my third book, and it's a call from the Tongue of a Foster Child, which is the series, and this is part three, which is really interesting about the series of these books is just a perspective coming from a foster child's mouth. And what I wanted to do was really express different views. So this book, we got a section called Blackish, which is a section about, you know, some of the issues going on in the Black community. Then I have a section called the Shish series, which is very risky as far as love and intimacy. And then I have a session called Foster Care Memories, which goes through a portion of my life. And each one of my books, I talk about different topics, but each one of the books have a section dedicated to foster care memories or foster care stories. And that is slowly telling my life through each book about what happened. And right now, I'm currently, I would say, around the age of 10 or 11. So I still have a long way to go to tell, you know, all of what happened. It's so massive. But I really wanted to name it that because what I want to know, what I want to teach people is just because of what you went through, you know, the common thing, that doesn't mean that you can't write a book. Doesn't mean you can't be better. And the foster child is a stigma to some, but to me, I was able to transform it into my armor and to let other people know around the globe, if you're a foster child, I hear you. I know some of the issues, But this is what I'm doing, and I hope that you do the same in whatever your respective industry is.
So where can people find your poetry? Where can they find your clothing line? Where can they find these books?
All right, so they could definitely find the book on Amazon. So that's where, if you just want to buy it online, or you could always reach out to me on Instagram, Ambition the Poet. And the clothing line has its own website, ambicitobyharper.com. It's where you can look through the clothing and you can see the different designs. You can also reach out to me so I can give you a better explanation of what's going on and the different characters that have different stories, things of that nature. So, yeah, and then you can follow me and see the events that I perform at and actually see me in person. So
I highly recommend people get the chance to see you in person, because even though he's going to be nice and perform something here for us today, you really get to see the passion when he's performing in person that doesn't, you can't quite see it over, you know, when you're listening to this through your earbuds, but really it's a whole performance of your energy and working with the crowd. That's important too, that I highly encourage
the people video get a chance. Can't capture that. It's like the video can't capture it. Neither can the audio, because when you're in the person, it's the still the best form of communication, right? It's like you get to hear it, you get to see it, and you get to feel the energy that I'm giving you and hoping you can feel it, what I'm saying, you know? So
yeah, I have a friend that says you never really know somebody until you get each other's stink on you.
right.
You know, you gotta be in the same room with the person.
Yep. That is so true.
So what are you going to perform for us today?
I guess I don't know what I should perform. I guess I can perform a poem called Never Give Up. It's like the, it's almost like Be Yourself, but you'll see. I do a little portion. I won't be too long. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. So for your listeners, I want them to go online and I want them to go to YouTube. There was something on YouTube, and it's called Martin Buffin Flores. Now there's this show, Martin Lawrence had a show called Martin. And in the show, he was Buffin Flores because he lost his job. And so he's contemplating, he's trying to get a job, but he really can't. Gina's in the room and she's like, look, you got to go to the unemployment office. And he says, oh, I don't want to go to the unemployment office. I'm not doing that. I don't have time for that. But it was quintessential that Gina was there, because sometimes the brokenness of a man leads to the softness of a woman's palm. And if he's not careful, brokenness will become an internal fungus. It becomes the growth that's on the soul's foundation. Now, there's some men who believe that because their money is not as tall as a skyscraper, that they have to listen to the mirror that spits in their face that says failure, failure. But money is not the substitution for the complexity of manhood. You see, I wish Martin would have told Tommy and Cole that it's really not money that is the problem. See, it's the spirit. See, you and I could walk in the hood right now and we don't need a crypto analyst to read the programming code in the eyes of the disappointed. So I'm glad that your listeners don't know me, so I wanted to give it a start. You see, I can't give up and you can't give up either. We both know somebody in the grave right now who does not have a beating heart. Well, I wanted to tell you about this show called Empire. Now, Lucius and Cookie are starting to argue because now they lost the empire and they don't really have the money like they used to. But I wanted to tell Lucius, now you understand that sometimes haters will love to laugh at the destruction of your achievements. And yeah, sometimes you're going, your wallet will face a Lion King stampede. And yeah, your last name is Lion, but today you're starting to sound like the feline that's on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Now, Cookie is saying that family is the only thing strong enough that could shatter the back of an income parasite. And she says something that struck me down in my core. She says, Lucius, when have we ever let being broke stop us before? That was when my brain started to squirt steroids into my creative juices. That means get around the woman of faith. They can tap into the future. I don't know why the hood doesn't call that the premonition. Yo, I'm glad that some of your listeners don't know me, so I wanted to give it a start. You see, I can't give up and you can't give up either. We both know somebody in the grave right now who does not have a beating heart. Thank you.
Oh, that was awesome. Thank you so much for that.
You like that one? That's
I did. It's perfect to tap in, you know, for my an anti-capitalist podcast, saying money is not your value of your worth, you know?
No, it's never. And that's true. At the end of the day, it's really who you are. And in both instances, Martin and Lucius struggled with that. Once they lost their money, they lost kind of who they were. They let their money define them. And I think that's one part about capitalism. And I'm a capitalist. I'm not going to, you know, fraud to you. But I do think we do make the mistake that money is defining us. It is the most dangerous thing in America, to be quite frankly, is that the money does define us. And when we lose it, you know, some people commit suicide. Some people, they have no idea who they are without their money. And so that's why I definitely wanted to write that piece and, you know, tap into that.
Yeah, I dig it. I like it a lot.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I actually did have one final question. I ask a lot of people this is, do you consider yourself an optimist?
Yes, I do, but I can be a negative Nancy. Some days I am a negative Nancy. I'm not going to fraud you. Some days I can get a little negative. But for the most part, I believe if we're serious about who we are, you have to be an optimist, because it's like, it's the whole viewpoint of your success and who you are as a person. Once you lose the majority of your thinking to negative energy and negative viewpoints, you're done. You're done. You're not going to get. You're not going to be successful, and that is very important for you to be majority positive in your thinking, which is basically linked into being optimistic. So yes.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. Do you have any final words before we close it out today?
No, I just want to say thank you for having me on your platform. And, you know, to tell you, like I was telling you guys in the room, to keep going, be bold, and do not be afraid of anybody that, you know, goes against your message. You're not for them. You're for the people who are trying to find your message and to make sure that, you know, that you're given the facts the way you see it, the way that you study, and make sure that you just keep going. And I hope and blessings to you and your mission statement, and just keep it up and don't stop. Don't give up, right?
Right, there you go.
You can't give up, and I can't give up either. We both know somebody in the grave right now who does not have a beating heart, which means because you're living, you still have an opportunity to do great things.
Thank you so much for that. That's great. To my listeners, thank you so much for joining us here today. We would not be here if it was not for you guys. We are not the mainstream media. We're trying to create something brand new here that hasn't existed before. And really to be the voice of the underdogs or the activists or the people that are trying to inspire change in the world. And that's why we need your help. We do not take any corporate money here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. We only accept donations from our partnering organizations or from people like you. So if you can, go on to www.njrevolutionradio.com and click on that donate button. Even if you can only afford $1 a month, it still really helps us out. We appreciate you so much. The future is yours to create. Go out there and create it.